welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Here's another lost show performed at one of ART's Christmas parties. It's Christmas Every Day. You know, what if Christmas was every day?
American Radio Theater is proud to present a recreation of an old-time radio Christmas story, Christmas Every Day, written by M.F. Hunt.
This is the story of a little girl who wanted Christmas every day and who kept writing letters to the Christmas fairy and writing letters and sending telegrams and postcards and letters.
What's that you have there? Another letter from that silly little girl? My, if she only knew who was getting all these letters, wouldn't she be surprised? She probably thinks she's sending them to one of those little snippets of Christmas fairies that stand around and hand things to Santa Claus. When I was a Christmas helper, I was a lot prettier and smarter than any of them will ever be. Yes, sir, I'm still a lot smarter. And old Santa will be mighty sorry someday that he took my job away. Just because I hid the sleigh bells and he had to hunt like mad to find them on Christmas Eve. He just couldn't take a joke.
A letter and a telegram, ma'am.
Another telegram? My, maybe this one is from Mrs. Claus inviting me to the Christmas feast. I should have known better. Just another message from that little girl. Please, can't we have Christmas every day? Please, please, please. Love, Judy. Only 10 words, but she did put in love. Maybe I should look into this.
Come on now, Dancer and Prancer. You got to have new shoes and have your antlers polished. It's almost time for your Christmas trip.
That settles it. I'm not going to sit around any longer and listen to all this. I'll just go and see this Judy and see what I can fix up. Maybe they won't be so cheerful around here when they have to keep up the December rate of production all year round. This is gonna be fun. Where is my best face? Can't go looking for that little girl not looking my best. This box is marked extra pleasant and happy. That must be it. My, it looks right nice. And practically new. I'm sure I haven't worn it but once or twice.
It doesn't fit as well as it did when it was new.
Oh, well, it won't be for long, and then I can take it off and put on my nice, comfortable, cranky face. Where is my hand mirror so I can see how I look? There it is. Well, I look pretty fine, if I do say so myself. It's too bad that I won't have time to stop at the toy shop and give the help a treat. But if I'm going to get there to see Judy and get back before midnight, I'll have to hurry. Let's see now. 11 o'clock Mountain Time, 10 o'clock Pacific Time. That'll be just about right. Don't want anyone going in while I'm gone and seeing my everyday face hanging up there. They might wonder what I was up to. Well, here we go. I expect I should have borrowed one of the small sleighs and made a fancy entrance. It's too late for that now. My old broomstick will just have to do. It may not be the latest model, but it gets me there.
In her pretty little bed, in her pretty little room, the little girl was fast asleep. She was dreaming the pleasant dreams of all little girls when Christmas is but a few days away. In her dream, she seemed to hear little bells and the sound of Christmas music. There, beside her bed, was the old Christmas fairy, looking very beautiful in the most elegant fairy-like way. She leaned over and kissed the little girl very gently on the forehead.
Oh, I had such a lovely dream. Oh, did I dream you? Or are you my dream now? How pretty you are.
Thank you, my dear. I am the Christmas fairy.
Oh, the one I wrote a letter to?
The one you wrote more than a letter to. But never mind, I'm not scolding you. You see, I came after all. Now let's get this settled about Christmas.
You mean that you can really fix it so that we will have Christmas every single day? Oh, that would be just the most wonderful day and the most fun, the very, very best day.
What about your birthday?
Pooh, what's an old birthday? It's just in the summer and we just have a birthday cake. There isn't any tree. Oh, I just love the Christmas tree and no snow. And I think the Christmas presents are much more special than birthday presents.
You do love Christmas, all right. You shall have your Christmas every day.
She had a wonderful Christmas. On Christmas Eve, the carolers sang out by the front gate and made such a pretty picture, just like a greeting card, her mother said. And in the morning, the little girl and her two brothers, one was bigger and one was smaller, tiptoed downstairs very early. And there was the tree. The angel with the gold wings and the pale blue silk dress was poised on the topmost tip-top, just as she always was. And the shiny stars twinkled, and the bright glass bells struck their thin high notes, and the candy canes were waiting for eager little hands to reach for them. And underneath and all around were the wonderful, wonderful presents. Dolls and trains and books and skates, boxes of candy and another doll and a wagon. And grandfather and grandmother came for dinner, and there was turkey and cranberries and chocolate cake and pumpkin pie and mashed potatoes and gravy and mince pie and olives.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
So finally, Christmas Day came to an end, and a very tired little girl was tucked into her bed. She put her new big doll at the foot of her bed, where she could see her as she went to sleep. Oh, she was a very happy little girl, and she had entirely and completely forgotten about the visit of the Christmas fairy. And the next day was Christmas!
See, now I've got two wagons. We can run races.
Oh boy, turkey.
And the next day was Christmas. And the next day was Christmas. And the next. And the next. Now that day should have been New Year's Eve, but every time someone tried to blow a horn for the new year, it came out, "Hark the Herald Angels." And every time someone tried to ring the old year out and the new year in, it sounded just like Santa Claus' sleigh. Valentine's Day was quite a mixture, what with all the Cupids dressed like Santa Claus. But when it came to April Fool's Day, well, the tree was just beautiful, as always, with the angel on the topmost tip-top. But the presents turned out to be the most unexpected things, not at all what they looked like from the outside of the packages. And the mince pie turned out to be mashed potatoes and gravy underneath the crust, which you must admit was a little confusing. By this time, too, everyone had quite worn out his voice, crying out, "Merry Christmas!" on these cold mornings. Even the weather stayed like Christmas, you see. And singing carols every evening out in the snow. The sleigh repairman was quite frantic, because he never seemed to get caught up with his work. And all the farmers had gone into raising turkeys and olives and goats and celery and mince, for the pies, you know. And prices had risen outrageously on sleds and candy canes. While nobody was even interested in buying swimming suits and picnic baskets, it was quite a situation. Then the 4th of July came around. There were lots of firecrackers and such things because the storekeepers had just kept pushing them back under the counter to make room for more twinkling stars for the Christmas trees and ribbon for the holly wreaths. So all the little boys and medium-sized boys and the big boys spent all their Christmas money and they were all set to have a wonderful day. They all went to bed without urging and shut their ears to the carols and went right off to sleep so they would be ready bright and early for a bang-up 4th of July. What woke them up? Cannons and firecrackers? Oh, no. It was sleigh bells coming down the street and a voice under the window calling Merry Christmas. It was really very sad. All the firecrackers turned out to be party favors filled with candy. and the Roman candles just unwound into garlands that spelled out Merry Christmas. And the next day...
That's my doll!
It was mine yesterday.
Christmas.
Silly. You can't tell dolls apart.
I want my wagon.
Day.
What do you mean?
What?
Give me my wagon.
Christmas.
I hate you.
And the next day.
Quit that. I'll tell Mama.
Was Christmas. And then it came time for Thanksgiving. And the little girl was beginning to wonder if her bargain with the Christmas fairy had been such a good one after all. It didn't seem to be working out just exactly the way she had planned. She began to wonder if she had made a slight mistake. The Christmas fairy wasn't getting along too well either. She was wishing that fairies could make wishes for themselves, when suddenly there was a loud knock on her door.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Don't be in such a hurry! I'm coming! Oh, it's you. I can't think of anyone who'd be sending me a letter. Nobody writes to me. Nobody speaks to me. Nobody comes to call. Nobody loves me.
Somebody sent you a letter, ma'am. Air mail special delivery. See there on the envelope? The Christmas fairy that came to see Judy. Santa Claus Village, Fairyland. Plain as the nose on your face, ma'am. Couldn't be plainer.
That will do, young man. I'll thank you not to make comments about my appearance.
Yes, sign here. Thanks.
Impudence. Oh, I hope there isn't another scolding letter from Christmas headquarters. Santa Claus is so angry, and Mrs. Claus even is furious with me. Oh, they're having such an awful time keeping up. Mrs. Claus says her gingerbread men aren't nearly as good when she hurries so, and... Blitzen has a lame foot. Oh, it's awful. And I can't do a single thing about it. I granted a wish and I can't take it back unless she asks me to. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Who's there?
It's me, ma'am. The office sent me to ask if there is an answer.
Answer? To what?
The letter, ma'am. The air mail special delivery.
Oh, I haven't opened it yet. Isn't that silly of me? Just a moment. Won't you come in? I'll open it right away. Oh! 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 Please, ma'am.
Has something dreadful happened?
Oh, no. Something wonderful. Everything is going to be all right.
Then why are you crying?
Well, because I'm so happy. Just listen to this. Dear Christmas Fairy, can you please do something about Christmas? I guess I didn't have a very good idea after all, and I'm awfully sorry. Love, Judy.
She sounds like a nice, polite little girl. Say, isn't she the one who wrote you all those letters last year?
Yes, she is. Oh, I am so happy.
That little girl. Maybe you don't know it, ma'am, but there are rumors, just rumors, you know, that she has something to do with this trouble we're in over Christmas. Well, I'll tell you, ma'am, it's about to drive us all crazy. Take greeting cards now. That's my job, delivering them. They ran out of ideas for paper ones, and now they write them on 10 plates. You've no idea how noisy a mailbag of them can be. So they weave them into old discarded tennis rackets. And a friend of mine, who joined the telegraph services because he liked to sing, he got so hoarse from singing, Merry Christmas to you, dear pal, so true, for 193 days running, that he had to resign and take a job keeping the Christmas mouse from stirring.
Now, where did I put it?
Put what, ma'am?
My best face. There it is. Sir, my goodness, I do believe it fits a little better this time. Maybe if I get this mess straightened out, I might get my old job back. And then I could wear it all the time. It does look awfully nice. Oh well, no time for that. Must get started.
May I take you, ma'am? I'm Air Mail Special Delivery.
Thanks just the same, but I'll take my old broomstick. Old-fashioned, I always say, but quick as a wink. Wake up, little girl. Wake up.
Oh, the Christmas fairy. I'm so glad you came. Please make it stop being Christmas. It's just awful.
Stop Christmas? For good?
Yeah, stop Christmas for... I don't think I mean that.
I'm sure you don't. Now let's see. Would you like it once a week?
Goodness, no.
Would you like it once every 52 years?
That seems quite a long time to wait, doesn't it? We might have it somewhere in between. Why? That would come out to just once a year.
Why, so it will.
It will! Can we have it that way forever and ever and ever and ever?
I think that is a very nice wish, and it shall be put into effect immediately.
And so Christmas got all straightened out and came just once a year, which, after all, had been very satisfactory for a great many years. What's that? You didn't know it was ever different? Well, now that you mention it, I don't believe it ever really was.
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of Christmas Every Day. In our cast, you heard Greg Porter as a narrator, Kay Lutz as the fairy, Bill Maines as the special delivery elf, Beth Schlansky as Judy, Dan Schindler as the tiny boy, Dave Leese as the bigger boy, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Child 1, Melinda Mames as Child 2, Kim Turner as Child 3. Live sound effects by Penny Schwamberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Playback by Joy Jackson. Engineering by Ron Ailey. Performed in front of a live audience at ART's 2012 Christmas Celebration. I am Harry Thiel, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to a segment from the Christmas on the Blue from December 25, 1944.
This is Gracie Fields in Hollywood again, and right now I would like you to meet three young ladies who are starting a brand new program on the Blue Network next Sunday, 4:30 p.m. for the Nash Galvanator Corporation. Christmas on the Blue presents the Andrews Sisters. Sisters have survived the ordeal of Christmas shopping very well.
Well, Gracie, we didn't have any problem at all this year. Christmas shopping was easy. We gave mostly war bonds.
You couldn't have picked better presents.
And they're so easy to wrap.
And they'll be so wonderful to unwrap in a few years because they will be worth a lot more money. But better than that, they will help win this war. Now then, what are you girls going to sing for us?
Well, it being Christmas, we couldn't think of anything better than Jingle Bells.
Well, okay, then. Let's hear Jingle Bells.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing our sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing our sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Open with a great big bang to give as hearty a welcome as we know to that great star of the entertainment world. From the blue to you, our Christmas good wishes, Herbert Marshall.
Thank you, Gracie, and greetings of the season to you and to all the blue and all America and all the world, with obvious exceptions.
But I know I speak for all of us when I say that we lend our ears on Saturday night to your show, The Man Called X, without fail.
Oh, thank you. I never miss your show, Gracie. It's excellent.
Well, thank you, but your show has so much excitement and pace and drama.
Oh, my dear Gracie, I must protest.
In fact, we have a spot on our show for you as Mr. X. X marks the spot.
Uh-huh. Now, you shouldn't have bothered.
Oh, presenting Herbert Marshall The Man Called XYZ.
Oh, really?
In the case of the missing claws, Kris Kringle comes a cropper.
The double cross.
Calling Santa Claus, come in, please. Calling Santa Claus, come in, please. Oh, Santa Claus, come in, wherever you are.
And here, radio listeners, is the latest news about the mysterious disappearance of the well-known gift tycoon Santa Claus. The Greenland Weather Observation Post saw Claus riding a fair wind with his reindeer prancing along in good shape. Weather conditions remain favorable, but he's not been heard from since. Foul play is suspected. The emergency council is now meeting in New York to take steps.
Gentlemen, you have been called into the emergency council to see if you can make suggestions as to the possible cause of the disappearance of Santa Claus. But you have been of no help.
As battling a case as I, Sherlock Holmes, have ever met and must.
Amazing, my dear Holmes, amazing.
Shut up, Watson.
Yes, my dear Holmes, yes, Holmes.
We are desperate, gentlemen. Do you realize that if Santa Claus does not show up, millions of people will be without gifts? Where's the thin man?
He slipped out under the door. The saint went down to the bar. The FBI took Mr. Moto back to the clink, and Charlie Chan got his tongue caught in a proverb. Gentlemen, there is only one answer. We must call on the man.
You mean?
Yes, I mean...
Oh, you don't mean my...
No, dad. I don't mean him.
But you do mean.
If you don't mean me, I'm going back to my Christmas dinner.
It is he.
The man called X.
Call me Y. I'm in disguise.
Oh, won't you slip off your disguise, Mr. X? It's so hot in here.
Yes, it is a little stuffy.
I resent that, X.
Sorry, old boy. I meant to be offensive. Now, you will see me as I really am. I remove my beard, my dark glasses, and my false nose. Presto. Thank you, madam. Thank you. Well, Mr. Chairman,
we are baffled by the disappearance of Santa Claus, who was last seen in his sleigh heading toward this country.
We must find Claus. How did you hear from him before he disappeared?
He's on our shortwave two-way beam, but now he does not answer our caller. We suspect foul play.
Indeed, if we didn't suspect foul play, we detectives would have a devil of a time making a living.
Oh, that's a good one, X. Oh, that's a very good one.
Shut up, Watson.
Oh, my dear Holmes.
Have you the transcript of the log on the shortwave station just before his disappearance, if I'm not being too technical?
Why, yes, here it is, right here.
Uh-huh. Calling S. Claus. Calling S. Claus. Over. This is S. Claus. Wind 90, speed 150, course 190, Ceiling 210. Correction, ceiling 200.
I wonder what made him lower the ceiling.
Obviously, the OPA. That was Claus's last transmission.
Yes. Then the radio announcer read the news.
Yes, I have it right here. Quote, tonight the OPA... I knew they had something to do with it. Tonight the OPA decided... Very interesting.
What could the OPA say that would affect Santa Claus?
Gentlemen, the case is solved. And not only that, but I've got two clues and a wet footprint left over.
Wonderful. X brings home the bacon.
Bacon and X. Oh, very good one.
Shut up, Watson.
Oh, Holmes.
There's not a moment to lose. Come on, all of you. Here we are. Hurry.
The shortwave station. X, you're stubborn as a mule. I feel like a blind sheep following you on a wild goose chase.
Or would you rather be a fish? Quick, give me the shortwave transmitter circuit that Santa Claus is listening to.
Here's a microphone, sir. But we've been calling him without avail. I fear he's crashed, sir.
This is X testing. 1, 2, button the shoe. 3, 4, shut the door. Calling Santa Claus. Calling Santa Claus. S-A-N-T-A. S-A-N-T-A. Message for you. Message follows. What you heard on the news broadcast does not, I repeat, does not apply to you. I say again, what you heard on the news broadcast does not, I repeat, not apply to you. Come in, please. Over.
This is Santa Claus. Roger. Taking off for the United States. Course 190. Full speed ahead. Stand by for a chimney landing in every home in America. That is all. Over and out.
Did you hear that?
Good old man! Hooray! Mr.
Rex, we cannot thank you enough. But how did you ever find out what made Santa Claus stop his trip from the North Pole? What did he hear in the news broadcast?
Elementary, Mr. Rex?
No elementary, Mr. Holmes. Here is what made Santa stop his trip. I read the news from the broadcast. Quote, tonight the OPA decided that the meat shortage is so acute that reindeer will now be sold in butcher shops.
You're amazing, amazing, my dear.
Shut up, Watson.
Oh, Holmes, go home.
Many thanks to Herbert Marshall, better known as the Man Called X. And now Christmas on the Blue has the pleasure of bringing you an intellectual discussion on the finer things in music. And this discussion will take place in New York between the famous Metropolitan Opera commentator, Milton Cross, and the famous authority on anything ridiculous, Mr. Ed Wynn. We take you now to New York.
Hello, Ed.
Hello, Milton.
Well, it's very nice of your sponsor Borden's to present you in Happy Island every Friday night and then to give you to us today.
Yes, I'm glad to be here, Milton.
But, Ed, I can't imagine what we'd have in common.
Why not? I used to be a musician, you know. I made my debut when I was 11 years of age in Carnegie Hall as a violinist. Didn't you know that? Oh, right in the middle of a violin concerto, Milton, the whole audience got up and walked out of the hall into the street. So I went out on the street and played the violin and chased the audience back in a hall again, you know.
Well, I didn't know you were musical.
Oh, my whole family is musical, Milton. My brother used to play one of those big violins. What do you call that, the biggest violin in the orchestra there?
Oh, you mean the bass viol.
A bass viol. My brother used to play one of those. He played it for 8 years, but the family made him give it up because it hurt him socially. You know what happened? Whenever he asked a young lady to dance, just from force of habit, he'd grab the girl around the neck with one hand and beat her on the back with the other. Just.
I'm sorry, Ed, but you don't sound like a musician to me.
Oh, there isn't a thing I don't know about music, Milton.
I have my doubts about that.
Well, you ask me a question. Go on, any question.
All right. What's the difference in the contrapuntal technique employed by Shostakovich in his Allegro con moto as opposed to the largo motivations in the fugues by Bach?
No coaching from the audience now. I'll get this thing here.
You see, you know nothing about music.
Oh, you don't think I do, eh? I consider myself... Hand me a violin there, Milton. Here's a violin. Here. You understand music thoroughly, I suppose.
Well, my... pretty good judge of it.
Do you hear that note?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
Well, you know so much about music. What opera is that note from? Huh? I guess that settles him. Just a musical ignoramus, that's what he is.
Well, Ed, that may be. But to strike a serious note for a minute, we have a special guest this afternoon, and I think you're just the man to introduce him.
All right, Melton. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you will permit me to drop my comic mask and appear before you as a human being. If I were asked why our next guest should be on this program, I'd say for one thing that he's probably the fastest up-and-coming young comedian in the movies. I think he proved that, and see here Private Hargrove, in which he didn't have the title role but got more attention from the critics than anybody else in the picture. I think he's also the most versatile young comedian in pictures, too. But I think that he is entitled to a spot on this great Christmas show today because at the present time, he is making three pictures simultaneously, also being an assistant director on another picture, and still found time to write a story, which is going to be made by MGM. That is why I think this young man should be with us today, and not because he happens to be my son, Keenan Wynn. Keenan isn't in New York, so we're going to try to contact him in California. Hello, Dad.
No, that's my line, Pop. I say hello, Dad.
Oh, I thought I'd say hello.
No, you got it kind of mixed up.
There's my son now. Hello, son.
You got another line, Pop. You say, I miss you, son. I got to have the right cue.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, I miss you, son.
Well, I miss you, Dad.
Well, I miss you very much, son.
I miss you very much, Dad.
You do?
Yeah.
Now I know how George Hardy felt when Mickey Rooney was drafted. I don't know. But I want you to know, Keaton, I'm very proud of you, my little baby boy.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
I got news for you. I'm no longer a little baby.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Since those days, I've added 25 years to my age.
That's funny. I've only added 10 to mine.
Say, look, Pop, I hate to disillusion you, but I'm a man.
Oh, you always wanted to get old quick. I say you're a baby. Even when you were a few months old, you were the only kid who wore a dighty with a belt in the back.
Well, I guess I must have given you a lot of trouble when I was younger.
You gave me a lot of trouble when you were younger. You were certainly a problem.
Well, it was your own fault, the kind of education you gave me.
Why, what do you mean, the kind of education I gave you? There was no kid who knew so much as you. 2 years at Smith, 2 years at Vassar, 3 years at Wellesley.
Those are all girls' schools.
They were all girls' schools. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no kid who knew as much as you. That's all I can say.
Well, those days are gone. I'm an old married man now.
I can't believe you're married, son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you. My baby boy is married.
Yeah. And your baby boy has a baby boy of his own, little Edmund Wynn.
How do you like that? My son has a son. How do you like that? I gave my son a splendid education. I sent him to the finest schools in the East. I bought him 7 speedboats, 3 expensive foreign cars. I squandered a fortune on him, and that's the thanks I get. Just when I'm starting to go out with young girls again, he makes me a grandfather, the rat.
Well, you just got to face it, Pop. You're a grandfather.
I'm a grandfather. Yeah. Well, I don't feel like a grandfather. I don't even feel like a father. I feel young. I'm going out with girls. I dance to all hours. I'm having a great time for myself.
Pop.
Yes?
Does your vitamin pill taste different lately?
Does my vitamin pill taste different lately? Well, all I can say, son, is there's not enough room in this family for 2 comedians.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I'm talking about you. Why don't you go into some other line of business? Are you sure you wouldn't be happy running a gas station?
No, Pop. I'm doing too well in Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess you are doing well out there. Yeah, I guess you're a big success.
Yeah.
Right now, I think you're a bigger star than I am.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Well, if you say so, Pop.
For heaven's sake, you didn't have to give in that easy, did you? You sure? Are you sure that you wouldn't like it better selling insurance?
No, I'm happy in Hollywood.
You're certainly making out pretty well, aren't you, son?
Well, you wanted me to make good, didn't you? Of
course I wanted you to make good. But there's such a thing as overdoing it, you know. Ah, Hollywood. I remember when I was working there.
Oh, well, things have changed since you worked here, Pop. They're making pictures with sound now.
Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
That's a nasty crack. I wonder whether a father can force a son to open up a candy store. That's what I like. Say, Keenan, since you're a big shot out in Hollywood, I guess you know all the stars.
Oh, some.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you about a Satan star out there.
Well, which one?
Well, I know you'll think this is silly.
No, I won't. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know whether I should.
Oh, go ahead. What is it?
Do you know Frank Sinatra?
Of course I know Frank Sinatra. Why, last time I saw Frankie, he took me to breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You poor kid!
Why? What do you mean?
You were being fed by a tube. Tell me, what else is new in Hollywood?
Well, let's see. Dorothy L'Amour is married.
Dorothy L'Amour is married?
That's right.
That's a shame. That's too bad.
Why? What's the difference? You didn't stand a chance with Dorothy when she was single.
Oh, I know I didn't stand a chance. But I can fire... Well, let me start that over again. I don't know. I feel so terrible about it. You say to me that I didn't stand a chance with Dorothy when she was single.
That's right.
Well, then I say I know. I can't fire a gun either, but I'm sorry when the hunting season is over.
Well, I know. Well, Dad, I hope New York agrees with you.
Oh, I love New York, son. I know everyone in town.
Really? Do you know Mayor LaGuardia?
Do I know Mayor LaGuardia? What a silly question. Every time I pass the mayor on the street, I tip my hat. And the mayor's hat tips him. Do I know the mayor?
Well, how's the family, Pop?
The family? Do you remember your Aunt Serena?
Oh, sure.
I mean the one who walks in her sleep?
Oh, what about Aunt Serena?
Well, last night she dreamt she was preparing tin cans for the war effort, and she woke up and found she had done the most terrible thing in the world.
What was that, Pop?
Well, she dragged her husband to the bathtub, turned on the faucet, was stepping on his face, and then started to yell, "I'll flatten this one out if it takes all night," she said.
Well, say, Dad.
Yeah?
I forgot to congratulate you on your 50th birthday.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you now, Dad, and I hope you live another 50 years.
Well, that's awfully sweet, son. I'm repeating this for the New York audience. You're congratulating me on living 50 years and hope I live another 50?
That's right.
Well, I believe I will. Because I feel stronger right now than when I started the first 50. I don't know.
Well, before I go, Dad, what else is new?
What's new? Don't you know that I've got the most popular radio program on the air?
The most popular radio program on the air?
Well, not exactly the most popular program. But it's among the first 10.
The first 10?
Well, the first 10 programs on Friday nights, yes. Anyhow, it's got the biggest listening audience of any show.
The biggest listening audience of any comedy show?
Well, not exactly the biggest. No, not the biggest listening audience. But we got more laughs than any show.
We got more laughs than any show.
Yes, any show like Inner Sanctum. Yes, yes. And besides, the sponsor, think of this, Keenan.
Yeah?
The sponsor has given me a contract for 5 years.
5 years?
Well, it's really 3 years. That's really what it is.
3 years?
Well, not exactly 3 years, no. But it's for 2 years with monthly options.
Monthly? Monthly options?
Well, I'm on next week. You're not going to talk me out of that.
So long, Dad.
Let me thank you. Many thanks to Ed Wynn in New York and Keenan Wynn here in Hollywood. It is rare in this business of being funny to find such a bond between father and son. And it is impossible in this business of winning a war to find a bond better than a United States war bond. Buy all you can as soon as you can, so that our fighting men won't have to spend another Christmas away from home. Once again, from the sunny shores of California, we travel across America to the snowy sidewalks of New York, and there, if everything goes according to schedule, we'll find a young singer by the name of Andy Russell. They tell me Andy has broken all attendance records since he has been back in New York. He is a star of his own very popular show on the Blue Network on Tuesday and Thursday night at 7:15. And right now, he is going to sing "I Don't Want to Love You." We take you now to Andy Russell in New York.
This heart of mine is leading me nowhere. If I only knew there was a chance that you could feel the way
program. Right now, he is playing in his usual role as announcer on the Charlotte Greenwood Show. Mr. Wendell Niles, start announcing, please.
I guess you folks have been reading in the newspapers and magazines about the wonderful new homes we're going to have after the war. You know, with all the most modern scientific improvements, fluorescent lights, radiation heat, doors that open and shut by electronics, and hot and cold running mortgages. Well, in this next sketch, we're going to drop in on an average American couple who've been planning just such a post-war home. And so it becomes my pleasure to introduce my favorite comedian. As a matter of fact, I've been introducing her over the Blue Network each Sunday afternoon on the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show at 3 o'clock Eastern Wartime. And I want to say very sincerely that it really is a pleasure to know her and to work with her. Here she is, America's First Lady of Comedy, Charlotte Greenwood. Welcome to the Blue Network Christmas Show, Mrs. Greenwood.
Wendell, what was that you just said?
Well, I said, welcome, Mrs. Greenwood.
Now, you know it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
And here is the other half of our sketch, Charlie Cantor.
Sweetheart, come in here, quick.
Do you know what this is?
Yes, darling, it's a roll of paper.
No, no, I know we can't build now, but when we can, these are the plans for our new house. They've just been approved by FHA. Isn't that wonderful?
FHA? Anybody we know?
FHA means Federal Housing Administration.
Oh, do they approve the plans? We're building the house, aren't we?
Sure, but they have to approve them. Mm-hmm. Look, this is the blueprint. I'll spread it out here so you can see it. Mm-hmm.
I don't want a blue house. I want a white house with green shutters.
Well, that's what this is going to be.
We want a white house or you bring home a blueprint.
Look, honey, it's going to be a white house with green shutters.
Where does it say that?
Doesn't say that anyplace. Now, look, honey, this is the living room.
Well, it's awfully small.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. It's a scale of 1 inch to 1 foot.
A 1 foot living room? Now, that's silly.
No, what I mean is every inch here is a foot.
Well, that's ridiculous. How can an inch be a foot?
What I mean is whenever they mean a foot, they use an inch.
Now, there's no sense to that at all.
Oh, look, you will have to take my word for it, but this is the living room.
They're not putting anything over on you, are they?
Why should they try to put anything over on me?
Well, everybody else does. You remember when you bought that oriental rug?
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is a mistake,
too. Well, now, look, darling, nobody's trying to put anything over on me. This is backed by the government.
You said the FHA.
But the government is the FHA.
Now, don't tell me that. Now, the government is the USA.
Look, the FHA is part of the USA, like
Oklahoma.
No, not like Oklahoma.
Well, Oklahoma is part of the USA.
All right. Never mind Oklahoma. Now, please, look at these plans.
Well, what are those things?
Seats.
That's impossible. You can't get them.
Can't get what?
Seats for Oklahoma.
Darling, will you forget Oklahoma? Those are window seats.
Well, where are the windows?
Right there.
Well, they don't look like windows to me.
Oh, look, you have to use your imagination.
You can't imagine windows. They have to be there.
Well, just take my word for it. They are there. Now, look, here is the fireplace.
Oh, now, that looks awfully small.
Don't forget the scale.
I know. One foot is an inch. Yes, don't tell me that again. Now, where does the smoke go?
Up the chimney.
But there isn't any chimney.
Look, that shows the chimney.
Oh, I see. Yes. With oranges growing on it, you save the price of a smudge pot.
Yes. Look, sweetheart, that is not the chimney. That happens to be a tree.
Does that go with the house?
No, it's just the architect figured a tree. It'd look good there.
An architect? What do we need with an architect?
Well, he drew up the plans.
You told me the FHA drew them up.
FHA approved them. Remember, everything works through FHA.
You know what we want. Why don't you make the plans?
Well, I couldn't make plans that a contractor could build a house for.
Oh, what do we need with a contractor? Already we have a lot of people hanging around, and it's supposed to be our house.
Look, a contractor's the man who actually builds the house.
I thought we were building the house.
Honey, please leave everything to me, will you, please?
Now, look, sweetheart. Look, Lemmy Pie, this is the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have twin beds, aren't we?
Yes, of course.
Where does it say that?
Doesn't say it any place.
I thought a smart man like you would get everything in writing.
Look, honey, it makes no difference to them whether we have one bed, twin beds, or sleep on the floor.
Oh, well, then let's not have them.
Let's not have who?
People who made these plans.
Why not?
Well, if they're not interested in our house, let's get somebody who is.
Oh, please, sweetheart. Look at these plans. Now, will you please look with the good eye? Look. Now, look. Here is the kitchen. See that?
Yes. Now, let's see. Now, where can we put the stove?
Put it in any place you please.
Yeah, we can have an electric stove.
Well, certainly. The house is all wired with millions of outlets.
Mm-hmm. Where are the wires? I don't see them with a good eye.
They don't show the wires.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know, but the wires are there. They must be there because here are the electric lights. Mm-hmm. They're the very newest thing, concealed lights.
Yes, well, they can't be concealed very well. I can see them plain as day.
I know, but listen,
Dad. First you show me wires I can't see and you tell me they're there, then you show me lights I can see and you say they're not there.
Of course they're there. They're long tubes filled with a kind of a gas.
Gas? You said they were electric.
Oh, they are electric. They work through either AC or DC.
You said everything worked through FHA.
Oh, look, darling, please. Just forget about all that for a minute, will you, please? Look how convenient I made everything for you. Just 2 steps from the kitchen to the dining room.
Mm-hmm. Where's the door?
Here it is.
Where does it say that?
Doesn't say that any place.
Well, where's the bathroom?
Here it is, right next to the bedroom.
Why couldn't we put it on the other side?
Well, the kitchen is there.
Well, we could move the kitchen in here.
We can't, sweetheart. That's the dining room.
Well, put the dining room there.
And where would we put the living room?
Well, put it where the bathroom
is. It wouldn't
fit. Well, we can make it fit. It's our house, isn't it?
Don't you understand? If we did that, the living room would face the back of the lot.
Well, turn the whole house around. Then we'd come out even.
Well, we can't do that.
Why not?
If we did, people would have to come in the bedroom. And if you wanted to serve a meal, you'd have to go through the pantry, into the bathroom, and through the living room to get into the dining room.
Put the kitchen where the bathroom is.
It won't work. What do we do with the bathroom?
Well, shove it back there.
That's no good. Then if you want to take a bath, you'd have to climb out the kitchen window.
I know. Make the window a door. That'll work out swell.
No, that'll work out swell. Yes. Where do we put the window?
Well, put the fireplace back there.
But that's the fireplace over there. That's where it was. Well, you can't have the fireplace there. Because you'd have to step through it into the kitchen, climb over the refrigerator, and get in the bathroom.
Oh.
Oh, but wait. I know what we could do. We could move the bathtub over here to...
No, the wicked, no. Then, oh yes, then when you went to bed, you'd have to hang your clothes in the pantry, and in the morning you'd be taking your shower in a china closet.
Wait a minute. Yes? I've got a better idea.
What is it? You bitch! Darling, you tore up the plan.
Yes, let's go completely crazy. Let's try and find an apartment.
On Christmas Day, it is our custom to sing the traditional carols, which have been handed down from generation to generation throughout the ages. I can think of no better group to sing these carols for you than the famous Fred Waring Chorus, heard each Thursday night at 10 o'clock, sponsored by the Owens Glass Company. For this special Christmas Day treat, we take you now to New York.
Oh! happy holidays to everyone from all of us at ART. For more podcasts by ART, including some of our productions from ART's Christmas parties, please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org. Hey, thanks for listening. See you next time.